a night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Now.
About is Bleak.
Is that so?
Oh, so that is. I mean, just take a look around.
Bleak brought this from me a year ago, man. This is a rare out-of-print bird.
Look, I'm a delivery man making deliveries. And any static, take it up with Bleak.
Bleak, two E's, one K. Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a fine musician, as well a very dear friend. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bleak.
Welcome. This is CITR 101.9 Vancouver. This is Exquisite Corpse Radio, Canada's favorite radio show, with your host DJ Bleak in with you tonight. Now, tonight I'm going to be bringing you something I promised you in the past. About a month and a half ago, I interviewed Mark Hostler of Negative Land, who was in town for the Copyright Copy Left Festival, put on by the good people at New Music, newmusic.org. And I interviewed Mark Hostler over the telephone. I presented you that interview about a month and a half ago or so, in its incomplete form. Tonight we're going to be playing the whole deal, the whole conversation with Mark Hostler, with the false starts and interruptions and just all warts and all. So you're going to be listening to that tonight, I hope. For further information, you can find out at negativeland.com or go to bleak.sensoryresearch.net for more information on this show and other things. Downloads. Of course, our podcasts are at citr.ca. So here is the full interview with Mark Hostler of Negative Land on Exquisite Corpse Radio.
Special designer song follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ready for broadcast.
Yes.
Call you Bleak, is that right?
Yeah, call me Bleak. This is Bleak on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, Exquisite Corpse Radio. We're talking to Mark Hostler, is it, or Hosler?
It's Hostler, like ha ha ha, like you're laughing.
Yeah, I've always thought so, but recently my friend Luke has been calling you Mark Hostler.
But boy, is he mistaken.
Yeah, well, we'll get him.
That would be like ho ho Hostler.
Yeah, wrong, I know.
Wrong kind of laughter.
And it's not quite seasonal.
No, it's seasonally inappropriate as well.
Yes, so, okay, so last time, well, let's just get into the... What do you want to start here? We can start with the festival coming up next week.
I don't want to start anywhere. It's your show, so you have to take the lead there, sir. Bleak, sir.
Yes. The Copyright Copy Left Bleaky. Festival.
Do they call you Bleaky, sort of, or is that like your nick? You know, what's your nickname?
The nickname is Bleak. That's it. Kind of like Cher.
Bleak, Cher.
Cher and Cher alike. So the Copyright Copy Left Festival.
Yes.
Coming
they got
up.
All this old geezers to come in there and talk about all this stuff.
Yeah, I was wondering, are you tired of talking about the copyright issue?
Oh, yeah, sure, in a way. It's ancient history. The argument's been made over and over and over and over, and the whole thing's all settled and done. What more could there be to say? I mean, that's true, you know, but on the other hand, these ideas just keep never going away. The issues keep never going away. And so perhaps to a newer audience of people who haven't thought about it as much, it may seem new and seem fresh. I don't know. I mean, I do lectures about our work all over the U.S. and all over Europe. And I've done about 95 of them in the last 6 or 7, 8 years or so. And it's just amazing to me that it never goes away. And in fact, it just keeps coming up in more and more ways. You know, once YouTube hit, you know, that just broke all this open even bigger and bigger in terms of appropriation, reuse, copyright, collage, mashups, all that kind of stuff.
So you're presenting a 90-minute video or movie, it says,
on
your website?
No.
No.
I hope it doesn't say that. I'm doing a 90-minute presentation where I'm going to show some short films as part of my presentation.
Let me see what it says here.
Yeah, let's get this straight. Because if they aren't, I need to correct them.
It says, Adventures in Illegal Art is a 90-minute film and storytelling presentation by Mark Hosler.
Yeah, that would be correct. Notice the and storytelling.
And storytelling, okay.
Yes, that is important, the and storytelling. I would say it's probably about 25% films and 75% is me talking I trace kind of the history of how Negative Land got started, and you know, it goes back to 1980 when our first record came out, and it was and I was still in high school, and we were doing this cut up tape collage stuff mixed in with our own crazy noises and sounds and kind of a bit of a pop song sensibility thrown in there, and we were cutting up tape with razor blades, using things taken out of one context and reusing them in a new one, repurposing, is that a word? Repurposing
sure.
them.
Yeah.
And it's late, I'm tired, so my brain's a
little cool.
Here. But, not concerned about copyright or anything, and the word sampling didn't exist then, and the whole the genre of hip-hop and rap didn't exist. So, I mean, the idea that you should get money for this or get permission to sample and pay money for it, I mean, that just didn't exist. And we were doing this just because it sounded great to us. It was exciting. It was fun. It was different. We hadn't heard anything like it.
And you chose the name Negative Land. I was wondering where that came from.
Well, my answer for many, many, many years was always that I would name whatever Negative Land member was not present at the interview and say that you'd have to ask them.
Okay.
But the reality is much more kind of embarrassing, which is that I was really, really into German electronic music in this, you know, because this was 78, 79, 80, and I had discovered all this amazing stuff coming out of Germany. And when we were trying to, we decided that we would like to say we were a band. Now, we weren't a band, really. We hadn't performed anywhere, ever, when we made our first record. It was a complete, bedroom studio creation. But we said, let's give it a group name so that, let's sort of position ourselves, to use what I know as an advertising term. But, we want to set ourselves up as seeming like we're kind of in the pop culture realm.
Yeah.
Doing weird experimental music stuff. So we should give it a name, like, hey, we're a band. So the name actually came from a group called Noi. It's from their first album. It came out in 1973. It's a very innovative, amazing, influential avant-garde rock record. That's where the name came from. That's why it's spelled that way. Of course, it turned out that the name was very fitting. I mean, it turns out that as our work evolved over the years, increasingly as we were appropriating and reusing all this U.S. media, that what Negative Land has done, and really if you look back at all of our work, as much as it gradually got more and more political in a lot of ways, that in every level, our work has always been appropriating and collaging and using found things, and it's always been about America. It's always been about what it's like to be living in this country and being an American and being subjected to this, the levels of media and information and the power and politics and economics and all this stuff. And that just permeates all of our work.
Does your message change considering who's in power at the time, or is it always...
Well, we don't have a message. We don't set out to have one. So you're inferring the wrong thing there.
Okay.
We're responding to things, and we're doing work that's, you know, a reaction to stuff. We don't sit around and say, we have a message, therefore we're making art. Because I think that just becomes propaganda, and we might as well be writing an essay. And we're trying to make, you know, we're trying to make music, and we're trying to make art. And so it's tricky to do that and make it work. So you... Obviously, our work is, you know, we're not doing love songs, and we're not doing stuff about all the typical things that that music is about.
Yeah.
So how do you do that and yet make it not, you know, didactic? And that's tricky. That's really tricky, and that's always been a challenge for us. And that's why I think our work, I mean, luckily our work has a lot of humor in it, and it has a pretty healthy dose of pure dot of surrealism tossed into it, too.
Oh, yeah. So, do you think, would Negative Land be the type of band they are now?
Would we exist if there
wasn't an illegal aspect to that, you know, what you've been doing over the years?
Well, like I said, we weren't aware of it being illegal when we started. We just were doing it. It just sounded cool, you know. We liked the sound of it, and we hadn't heard anybody do it.
Yeah.
And as the years went by, and then finally starting in the late 80s, there started to be lawsuits around sampling, which were the first one was against Biz Markie for a record I Need a Haircut, where he sampled from Gilbert O'Sullivan. And then De La Soul did an album called 3 Feet High and Rising, and they were sued by Flo and Eddie of the Turtles. And those were the first two kind of landmark cases that suddenly made everyone freak out. You know, and it had a terrible, terrible effect on the whole evolution of hip hop. I mean, it was awful for that genre of music. Because suddenly you had these artists who had to just stop dead in their tracks with their whole creative process and rethink everything, because it all was maybe going to, they had to figure out who owned all these samples and pay the money and do all that. So as that world was arising in the more mainstream world, you know, for Negative Land, it just made it more interesting. It's like, oh, wow, well, we're doing something that you're not supposed to do. Great.
Yeah. And you guys kind of went into it full bore and sort of took them on, I guess.
Well, we took them on. How do you mean?
I don't know. You seem pretty fearless, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, just knew we were. But who were we really threatening? Who were we really?
Well, no, I don't know. Yeah, that's what I don't understand it.
No, I don't either. I mean, we're not hurting anybody, actually.
I know. It's free advertising, basically.
Either.
In my mind, it's like free advertising.
Yeah.
There it is.
No, the whole argument, in a way, is just absolutely silly that it has to be made. I mean, you know, but I basically. All throughout human history, human beings have been creative. They've made works of art. They've developed new technologies and science and discoveries and all these things that are responding to the world we live in. I mean, there's nothing else you could possibly be responding to except the world we live in, right?
Right.
So when, you know, when human beings were living in caves and maybe they would... they might pull a stick out of the fire and they'd use the charcoal burnt end of it to draw a picture of a buffalo on the cave wall, because that was what was outside the cave.
So,
and now, you know, we zoom ahead thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and the world we live in is one of pop songs and advertising and media and news and logos everywhere and information. And what are human beings going to do? Well, they're going to be creative and make work that responds to the world they live in, and they're going to use the tools they have available. And the tools now are not just, you know, sticks pulled out of a fire. It's copying technologies and these weird machines that can grab things and manipulate stuff, which is, you know, very fun to do. But I just see it as the creative human impulse, the spirit that is at work there is hasn't changed. It's exactly the same. It's the world we live in, and it's the tools we have available, and that's what we're doing. And that, to me, is what Negative Land is doing, and that is what, you know, since we started speaking out about this, you know, collage has just become more and more and more and more mainstream. And now we have groups like Girl Talk, who's like a superstar.
I was going to bring him up. Yeah, Greg Gillis.
Yeah, he's great. I love his work. He's fantastic. Super fun. Not political in any way. I mean, it's just fun to get to.
But yeah, I was going to ask you what you felt about him and about... Basically, he's kind of been I guess he gave you props. I heard him Friday on a Nardwar, the Human Serviette show. He was talking about how you guys sort of paved the way for what he's doing now, and that he's much more free to do what he's doing.
Yeah, well, that's very kind of him. I've met him. He's a really nice guy. His show is great. He's he's maybe 27 years old. I mean, yeah, he grew up listening to things like John Oswald and Plunderphonics and Negative Land, and he took a lot of these ideas, and he took them in a different direction. And I'd always been, I got to tell him this when I met him. You know, I said, I'd been kind of predicting for years and years that someone was going to come along and take these more fringe, experimental, avant-garde type of collage ideas that we've been meddling with, and they were going to do something with it that kind of just had a more super pop accessible sensibility, and it would cross over and it would become huge. And I said, you are that guy, you are that thing.
He's definitely that guy. Yeah,
and luckily it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and his work is totally brilliant.
Yeah, I've met him before as well. He's a very nice kid.
Yeah,
you know.
As a person who, I mean, I make this stuff, I'm part of the group that's involved with it, but I'm also just I'm a fan, I'm a student of music and print culture and art, and it's fascinating to see how ideas from the fringes gradually percolate deeper and deeper into the mainstream, and then one day you wake up and then they're just completely normal and no one even thinks of them as being and transgressive or anything anymore. And really that's what's happened is, the reason why Girl Talk isn't being sued is really a testimony to how much these ideas have become so normalized that even in the mainstream industry, of which he's completely ripping them off, so to speak, quote unquote, ripping them off, to stealing from them to make his music. Well, no one has sued him,
I know. Elton John, it's fascinating.
All these people aren't, because I think that the change is just so obvious, and they just know that if they did it, they would look so absolutely bad and terrible. It would be such a bad.
It's hard with him because he sounds like he's doing the most positive tribute. All of these little samples that he can possibly do. So, why would they go after him? They'd look ridiculous,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
Right. But this is just what I like about this is that this is an example of how you see that the public use and behavior and creativity is way ahead of where the law is at. And that's part of what I hope gets discussed at this festival in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Is not the discussion of is this right or is this wrong? Because I think that's become an old, stale, kind of boring discussion to have.
Good.
It's like what's interesting to talk about is, look, this is here to stay. This is not going away. It does not matter how much you criminalize it. This is what your user population is going to do. They're going to download whole works, and they're going to take bits and pieces of whole works and collage them. They're going to do all this stuff. So what do you want to do about that? What do we want to do? And I had the experience last November. I've been asked to be on the advisory board of an intellectual property advocacy group in D.C. They're called digitalfreedom.org.
I was going to bring up Creative Commons, but that's a different...
That's different. We've worked with Creative Commons, too. But this is just to show you, again, how much things have changed, where Negative Land's gone from seeing as being completely weirdo, freak, outlaw, crazy guys, to now... we helped write the sampling license for Creative Commons. They asked us to do that with them. And then a few years later, I was brought out to Washington, D.C. last November, and I was taken around on Capitol Hill to the House, to the offices of various senators, congressmen, and House subcommittees and judiciary committees on media and technology and copyright. And I gave a presentation about 8 or 9 times in the course of one day. All about collage and the future of what's going on with art and creativity.
So now you're the man. You're the man.
Well, it was totally weird because my politics are I'm more like some socialist, democrat, anarcho-syndicate.
Yeah. Well, it says on your, I watched some of your Creative Commons, as a video interview sort of thing you were given, it said something like you are to... Let me see. Creative Commons is the Sierra Club, as Negative Land is to Earth First, sort of.
Yeah, we're more like the Earth Firsters. And I can see the value in terms of the political process and how change happens that Sierra Club has the ear of the more mainstream, and they have a real important role to play. Mm-hmm. But Earth First has a real important role to play, too, because they help set the terms of the debate and the discussion, and they pull it more to the left. So yeah. Earth First does play an important role. So I can see us playing that role. And Sierra Club is very important. But I don't really want to be a full-time member of the Sierra Club because that's boring. You know, it's just no fun. Earth First is way more fun and interesting. So, you know, to just take that, I'm just taking the analogy kind of all the way there. That,
yeah, I know. That's it.
You know, I'll speak at some, you know, intellectual property conference at Duke University or MIT or Yale or someplace that's pretty respectable and kind of within the mainstream of academia, and they'll trot me out as kind of the token artist, which I think is kind of funny. But I'll do it, and I'll show up, and I'll try and give the argument, you know, some of what we're talking about today, you know, and say, look, this is where creativity is going, and you need to kind of embrace it. And that's what I was saying to these politicians. You know, I said, you have lobbyists coming into your office from the RIAA, and I think in Canada it's the CRIA, right? CRIAA or CRIA, right?
You know, I think it's something else, but I'm not too sure. I am American, actually, in Canada, so I pay attention to the American stuff a bit too much for being a dual citizen.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I tend to be more focused on the U.S. still.
Do you have the Canadian Recording Rights Association, and I believe the initials are CREA.
Okay.
But anyway, we have the RIAA, and we also have the Motion Picture Association of America, and these are two very, very well-funded lobbying groups who are in D.C. They go and talk to all the politicians, and basically they'll trot out, you know, Sheryl Crow at their hearings. And they'll say, look at these poor artists. You know, we're trying to protect. They argue that they're trying to protect the artists and creativity and all that. And so when I was in D.C., I said, look, these people come into your office and they're telling you they represent, you know, all the artists and all the creators out there. And I said, they're not telling you the truth. I said, they do not. They represent a very, very tiny percentage of very wealthy creative people and musicians and filmmakers. But the fact is that there's this huge and growing population that is creating and distributing work in whole new ways that no one could have foreseen. And you have a set of laws that are not accommodating them. And these people are actually being very enterprising, very creative and innovative and new. And you don't want to stop them. You know, this is like your classic American sort of, you know, innovation and new stuff. And I was trying to, you know, explain this to largely I was talking to Republicans. Because even though you think the Democrats would be more on our side, the Democrats are more funded by the RIAA and the MPAA. The whole entertainment industry gives them way more money. They don't give the Republicans the money because there's a cultural you know, thing. The Republicans look at Hollywood as being more sinful. Sending bad messages.
And the Republicans came at you with their fangs, didn't they?
No, they didn't. Not at all. Because I was having these meetings because they were interested in talking to me, not because I was forced to.
No, I just had to say that.
Oh, okay.
I'm a mean-spirited person.
I basically hate and despise all the neocons and Republicans who have destroyed this country. But, you know, you know, they've completely, our Constitution has been ripped to shreds. Our media doesn't do its job at all. I mean, we're, as you know, Canadians, you know, that I've met are so much better informed about what's going on in the U.S. and what's going on in the world and politically.
Oh, I know, yeah.
You know, no, I mean, we're
well,
a bunch of...
No, even if... A lot of the... They're well informed about...
Dumbass ignoramuses in America who practically are just getting what we, you know, we're getting what we seem to want.
Well, I give them more information about what's really going on in the U.S. sometimes, and they cannot... They think it's called conspiracy stuff. They can't possibly be that bad. And I'm like, yes, completely that bad. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have to sometimes, when I'm talking to people more conservative than me or even my parents, you know, I have to say, look, this is going to sound like a conspiracy theory, but it is not. This is actually true.
It's really going on.
But it's not something that our media, because of who owns the mainstream media, they aren't talking about it. But it actually is a fact, you know, of... I mean, just look at what's happening with our healthcare debate. The fact that we're having one... is completely immoral and totally insane. I mean, it's well, a human right.
The fact that we have to have that conversation about whether or not we want health care in this country is already starting from a completely right-wing position, and we should be starting, we should be... They're still controlling the conversation.
That's very well put, and that's absolutely right. Even having it, they're already in control of the debate. And what's also interesting is that in the last 8 years, the right wing used to kind of be able to, they felt like they had to pretend that it was not all about money, but they aren't even bothering anymore.
No, that's
right. The argument over this whole, the whole argument is, well, geez, it might actually make the insurance companies of America have less profit. Like, instead of having a 400% increase in premium in payments, maybe it's only a 20% increase. Well, boo-hoo-hoo, they're not even pretending anymore that that's the case. They just out and out just come out and say, yep, it's all about money. And really, if you can't figure out how to make enough money and you're just going to die, well, then tough luck. You might as well, just hurry up and die.
But anyway, let's get back. This is,
related because the copyright stuff that we're up against is this same kind of level of absolutely stupid, thinking that's just so counterproductive. And ultimately, if you follow out the corporate logic of copyright law, of extending it, in America, it's the life of the creator plus 70 years. I think in Canada, it's the life of the creator plus 50 years. But it means that in America, nothing made in your lifetime will ever come into the public domain. If you have a world where everything, the copyrights basically last for your entire life, nothing enters in the public domain, well, the whole balancing act of copyright was always supposed to be a balancing act. It's not supposed to give you an omnipotent ownership control in your work forever. The whole idea of copyright is to say, yep, we give you a limited amount of time to make some money because that encourages you to create work. But then it has to end, and it has to enter into the public domain because that's how ideas of art and science evolve.
Was that a 50-year rule, or was that supposed to be something else?
When copyright began in America under the statute of, I think it's the statute of Queen Anne, statute of Anne, it was only 14 years.
14 so everything years? Required,
yeah.
And that was public domain, or...?
Yeah, and after 14 years, it entered into the public domain.
Holy cow.
So you had people like, I'll talk about this when I do my presentation, too. But Mark Twain, the American writer, it drove him nuts because all of his books were coming into the public domain while he was alive. But guess what? It gave him the incentive to write more books.
Ooh, there you go.
So an example I like to use is think of J.D. Salinger, the author of Catcher in the Rye. Well, it's kind of the only book he ever wrote. It's one of the most amazing books ever written. It's a very important book in literature.
Yeah.
Well, if his copyright had expired in 14 years, what do you want to bet? It would have really lit a fire under his butt and got him to write more great books.
Island Records.
So that's just...
that's a good example. Okay.
Yeah, different thinking.
Island Records. Island Records. Island Records.
love for that music, including myself. When I first played that, it just for real.
Can't be blocked, anybody. Might be the music business, but doesn't mean it isn't dangerous.
This is American Top 40.
Might be the music business, but doesn't mean it isn't dangerous.
Copying is a criminal act. Copying is a criminal act.
You have any idea what kind of jeopardy you put yourself in? Oh, please don't sue us.
Copying is a criminal act.
We're really sorry about this.
Copying is a criminal act.
We're really sorry about that. Can't be blasé about it.
Copying is a criminal act.
We'll play ball with you.
Do you have any idea what kind of jeopardy you're putting yourself in?
Oh, please don't sue us. It might be the music business, but it doesn't mean it isn't dangerous. We're really sorry about this. We're really sorry about that. We'll play ball with you.
Copying is a criminal act. Copying is a criminal act.
Oh, please don't sue us.
Copying is a criminal act.
Do you have any idea what kind of jeopardy you're putting yourself in? This is not all rock and roll, dude. Wake up!
And now let's go back to the interview with Mark Hosser of Negative Land on Exquisite Corpse Radio, CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
We have to be very strict that no copies under any circumstances can be made. No copies under any circumstances can be made.
Rock and roll, dude.
So anyway, but just to kind of recap, Negative Land didn't get into this because we were fighting this fight or because it was illegal. We got into it because we were following our creative noses and just trying to make interesting, good work. And at some point, our creative intuitions and directions did slam headfirst into corporate thinking and copyright law. And we have tried our darndest to not back down, keep our sense of humor, keep doing work, hopefully set examples, you know, whether people like our work or not. We kept thinking throughout the 90s, we've got to keep doing this and set good examples of why this isn't a threat, why this is a legitimate art practice.
Yeah.
And maybe eventually, you know, more people will come around to this kind of thinking. And like I said, it's evolved to the point where, well, Jesus, you know, we have Girl Talk, and I'm getting asked to speak on Capitol Hill, and we're going to have a whole festival that relates to it in Vancouver, Canada, you know?
Now, speaking of Canada,
the funding for this come from? I'm not sure. Who's paying for my way to get...
I was kind of wondering that. I don't know. It's a government
thing.
Maybe
it was your tax dollars.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm going to complain.
You do things like that in your country.
Now, last time you were in Canada...
We don't support the arts in America unless it's completely bland, has no content or ideas, and innocuous, and it's a landscape painting or abstract corporate lobby art that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, we're getting into my work there.
So, you know.
Anyway.
That what you do for a living is you make abstract corporate...
I frame that art.
Doesn't actually mean anything.
Yes,
contentless work.
Yeah, I frame that art and I ship it all over the world.
Threatening puffery.
Yeah, yeah, that's
pays
me.
The bills, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just work for the guy. That's all I do. Let me see. Now, last time you were in Canada, was that the fest in Toronto with the It's All in Your Head FM, the Negative Land?
Yeah, we performed in Vancouver at the Town Pump in the early 90s. I have not been back to Vancouver since. I've spoken about our work in Winnipeg, in Windsor, in Toronto. We've performed in, you know, Montreal and then in Toronto a number of times, as well as me doing lectures in Toronto. And we were part of the Plunderpalooza Festival 10 years ago. It was in Toronto. Yeah, that was great. No. I got to actually debate. Oh, what the heck is his name? I'm forgetting his name. It was the head of the Canadian Recording Industry Association. I actually debated him in public about all these issues.
Nice.
It was a strange experience.
I saw you in, I think it was 1993, do a improv thing with Steve Fisk.
Oh, in Olympia, Washington.
In Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle?
Yeah, it was really close to where I lived, right in Seattle. It was an improv, and you guys had these little Casio samplers.
Probably. You mean it was just me, or it was actually Negative Land?
It was you, just you, and Steve Fisk.
Okay. Oh, how about that? Yeah.
And you, you'd just been sued for the whole U2 thing, and you're selling the tapes or something, and so I went and got one of the tapes of the U2.
Yes, well, that would have been back when
we
were stripping copies of it on cassette, because we didn't have the ability to download things like we do now. Yeah, everything's changed.
Yeah.
You can pop up your just get things out there electronically and distribute it like this.
But, you don't remember that show?
No, because I think you're confusing it. I think it was a Negative Land performance where Steve Fisk was the opening act and opened for us.
Absolutely not. No, it was you guys sort of bouncing off each other with sounds and stuff. It was fabulous. I remember it like yesterday.
Probably, but I generally can remember.
I've talked to Steve Fisk about that actually, and he remembers that. So
okay, well I believe you. I believe Steve. I trust him implicitly. I generally can remember every show we've ever done or I've ever done. I mean, I don't have a brain that's been too addled by any substance. So I usually can. So I'm surprised I don't remember it. But there you go.
Well, okay. It was a memorable thing for me.
Yep. Yep.
Very.
Anyway, so the thing I'm going to do at the Vancouver New Music Festival is kind of an overview of how our work kind of got to where it is now, and how we kind of unwittingly did get into these things following, our creative impulses and what happened. Of course, we did some pranks, hoaxes, we got on TV.
Oh, yeah.
We sued more than, a couple of times for our work. So I'll get into all that, and I have a bunch of films I'll show to illustrate these different points that I think are pretty fun to watch and make it more entertaining. And it's definitely a presentation that's geared toward, you don't have to just be knowledgeable of our work to enjoy it. I mean, it's definitely will work if you are just interested in these issues of ownership, media literacy, anti-corporate activism, pranks, hoaxes, just kind of new kind of strategies of being creative in the digital age and all that stuff. If that interests you, then you might like my spiel.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I grew up in around that Seattle and Tacoma areas, one of the radio stations that was omnipresent in my life, along with all the other ones, with KJR, was one of the big top 40 radio stations of the what I remember, early 70s, and all the way. And you guys did a spoof, a prank on KJR.
We sure did.
And got them to change their whole business practice. Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, format.
They changed their format.
Now, how exactly did that work? It was on, you broadcast it on several pirate micro stations around the city, or?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, what happened was, and this is sort of typical, to me, a pretty typical Negative Land kind of an idea, where it has a sort of a weird, it's sort of a little screwy in a way.
Yeah.
And Richard in Negative Land, who lives in Seattle, has for a while, he noticed that this station KJR, which plays all the hits from, I think it promotes itself as playing all the hits. It was playing
the 60s and 70s.
All his hits from the 60s and 70s. He noticed that they were actually also playing hits from the 80s, but never mentioning it. And then there was a National Association of Broadcasters was having their national conference in Seattle. And so there was a counter conference going on to do with independent media and I actually did a presentation on our work as part of it, and they were going to do a series of kind of micro radio pirate broadcasts where they were set, you know, they were broadcasting on all these different frequencies all over the dial in Seattle. And they approached us saying, would you like to do some programming? So Richard came up with just, I thought, this really great, very funny, brilliant idea, which was, he created this character of Jack Dickovich, and that's a Polish spelling of the name there. It may sound like it's a bad word, but
yeah,
it's,
I saw the spelling.
D-I-E-K-O-B-I-S-C-Z, Jack Dickovich. And so Jack Dickovich is supposedly this disgruntled ex-disc jockey from KJR.
Yeah, I was almost convinced.
Hair, and he's going to expose them for the liars they are. And basically, you know, what a horrible, terrible, awful media station they are. Now, the fact is that this is actually inconsequential. Who really cares that they're doing it? But it's true. It's true that they really were lying. But
yeah.
So what? Big deal.
It's a big deal, yeah.
So what was great was
they caved.
Well, he's a character who was attacking the right target for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
We liked that as a kind of a conceptual thing, and we made it. What we did is we made a 20-minute show of Jack going off the hook, and it's like he's locked himself in the station, and we were using all the KJR stings and jingles mixed in, and it sounded like you were listening to KJR.
And the audio is out there. People can find that.
Well, then, yeah, so what we did then is we burned it to about 8 different CDs, and we gave it to the people who were doing the counterconference, and we said, what we want you to do is put this in a loop and broadcast it for 24 hours straight on every single frequency you've got, so that when people are tuning the dial across the dial in Seattle, everywhere they go, they're going to hear this, what sounds like KJR, and this guy who's out of his mind.
Fantastic.
And then we even had somebody go into the National Association of Broadcasters playing it on a boombox and saying, hey, check this out. What is this? You know, this guy's like gone nuts. And who is this? And we then made a web page attacking them that looked like it was from fans of the station who were outraged the station was lying about their format. And so we had a lot of, you know, it was really pretty silly. I mean, we had a lot of fun with it. And in the end, it generated enough letters to the station and problems that they actually dropped all the 80s songs and cleaned up their form and made it and got it correct.
And so still, who cares, right?
Yeah.
And who really
so we
cares?
We put out a press release about it, and we put it up on our website. If you go to our website, negativeland.com, and go to the archive section, because the archive section has that broadcast up there.
It's great.
And,
it's fantastic.
So, thanks. I'm glad you like it. I really liked it, too. Really, Richard's. I did a lot of the kind of coordinating of the whole thing, but it was Richard. Richard had the basic sort of seed of the idea of what to do, and created the character. A lot of fun. I'm glad that you know that one, because it's. I'm sorry that was kind of took a while to explain, but it's kind of complicated.
No, that's good. Yeah. Hey, we talked to my buddy Luke and I, who does Luke does a show called A Noise on Wednesdays. We interviewed Don Joyce about 3 years now, or maybe more.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, he was a great guy to talk to. He said one thing that was memorable. He said that he's been around the world. He's seen a lot of things, but the guys in Negative Land are different. What do you think of that?
Nice. I don't know. He sounds like he's talking about having sex with us or something.
He might have been. I don't know.
Yeah, but we all.
He mentioned,
you know,
CP Sate, so.
We all sleep in the same bed because that's the only way we could afford to live in the building and have a recording studio, which takes up most of the whole place we live in. And there was only one bedroom left over, so we had to all kind of pile in, and we got an extra king.
You guys still in the process of breaking up?
Yeah, we're always in the process of we're breaking up, actually. Yes, perpetually so. It's okay. We all drive each other. At some level we can't stand each other. We drive each other completely insane, and it's a miracle that we're together after 30 years, you know. Number of times we've broken up.
The ring represents a circle of life.
Yeah, the public has no
eternity.
Idea. It's kind of like your family, you know, where no matter how much your family drives you crazy and you'd like to quit your family, you can't, because you're related to them by blood, family. So Negative Land is actually very like that, in some way, you know. So,
yes. Hey, can I get you?
They will all testify to how much we all at various times have wanted to strangle each other. Various projects.
Can I get you to do a program ID for me? Just to tout my show, like I'm a big shot or something.
Big shot.
Yeah, I'm pretending that I'm gonna. Actually, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for the big shot angle.
Big shot angle.
So yeah, you could say you're listening to Bleak, huh?
Yeah, Bleak on what? What is it? CITR?
Yeah, you're listening to Bleak on Exquisite Corpse on CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Can you do that? Bernie, please.
Yeah, wait a minute. Exquisite Corpse, 101.
101.9.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Sorry.
No, I'm trying to find my little toy megaphone, but I don't see it.
Oh, wow, okay.
That'd make this more fun, but I'm looking around my room. If you had your video conference on.
Well, see, I can add effects later if you want.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I'm a talented man. I have heard that very likes to experiment. No, I'm going to ask. I'm talking to Vicky tomorrow morning too. Vicky Bennett, she's going to be there. The festival.
Oh, I'm so excited to get. I haven't seen Vicky in years.
Really?
She's so great. She's such. I mean, she's her work is great, and she's just such a great person.
Oh God, I love her. I just.
Yeah. Oh sure.
I can't wait to meet her.
How could you not? She's just wonderful and very very funny, and she's going to be there with her husband, who I've never met. And
oh God, she's married.
Yep, afraid so.
Throw those plans out the window.
That's right. Oh, she's out of the running for you, buddy.
Right.
No, we've known her for, I guess I've known her for maybe 11 years, 12 years, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And she's still hanging in there and cranking out work and doing stuff. And no, it's very exciting. Chris Cutler, I haven't seen him in maybe 20 years, but I stayed at his place in London in the late 80s. And recommended records, the whole distribution and label that he started up way back in the day, was carrying our work very early on and getting it out there into Europe.
Fantastic.
So that's exciting. And of course
John Oswald,
reissued Plunderphonics on our own label. And John's a friend too. So, no, it's going to be a great big, you know.
Yeah, we couldn't believe our eyes when we saw this come about. It was like, what?
Just a great big circle.
You got to be kidding.
I know, but we're all so, you know, old. Where's the new fresh blood of people stealing things and making stuff? That's what we need.
Yeah, well,
we're the old timers, you know. So it should be fun. I'll be there for the whole festival too.
Greg Gillis comes in, plays Girl Talk in town at least twice a year.
Yeah, sure.
Or so,
good.
You know, but.
Yeah, there's your big shot.
Yeah, that's
you
the
want big shot to do your ID. He's
I stay away from the big shots. I just don't care. It's not. Yeah, my show's kind of about the. Well, you know, it's a fringe thing.
Yeah. Hey, so let me give it. I'll try a few. You want me to try a few here? I should try a few to see what. Hey, this is Mark Hosler of Negative Land, and this is my big shot at being a big shot on CITR, where you're listening to Exquisite Corpse at 101.9 with this bleak guy.
Goodbye. Fantastic.
How's that?
That's good. I like that.
I hope it came through.
Hey, what are you doing walking along a million miles from no place at this time of night?
I was coming in here to phone or something.
Look, were you going in this joint here?
Well, I was.
Come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
Well.
Howdy, folks. Good to see somebody. Out kind of late, ain't you?
Well.
No, just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Shh. That wasn't it.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Yeah. I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
You hot or something?
No.
Not kind of late, ain't you?
Black coffee. How about you?
The same, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry I frightened you, but... Hey, what's your name?
Eileen. Eileen Harrison.
I could use a little company right now.
Good to see somebody.
What's the matter?
Shh. Oh, here you are. Piece of pie?
Oh,
Out kind of late, ain't you?
Well,
Well,
look, piece of pie?
Huh? Oh, no.
How about the hamburger?
Just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah.
Say, what's the matter with you?
I'm listening for something.
What?
That wasn't it.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
What's the matter?
Shh. Shut up, the two of you.
Well, all right.
Well, I mean...
Oh, well...
Well, look, if you don't like me, you can always start to walk again.
Well, here you are.
I mean...
Oh, I've...
No, keep your shirt on. You'll be all right. That wasn't it.
What?
If you don't like me...
Piece of pie.
All right.
Well, here you are.
Thanks.
Piece of pie, bud.
That wasn't it.
Piece of pie.
Huh?
Pie. Piece of pie.
Well?
Bud.
Huh?
Piece of pie.
Oh, no.
How about the hamburger? We got good hamburgers, you know. We got...
No.
I don't want no trouble.
No, keep your shirt on. What's... Just be quiet a minute, will you?
Well, I...
If you don't like me...
All right, but
no.
I...
Piece of pie, bud.
Oh, no.
How about the hamburger?
No. No, just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah. Shut up, the two of you.
Sure, anything you say.
Listen.
Hey, mister.
Shut up. Listen, that must be it now.
What?
Piece of pie, bud?
Huh?
Pie, bud?
Oh.
Well, here you are.
No.
Sure.
What's the matter with you?
I'm listening for something, that's all.
What?
Piece of pie.
All right, thanks.
No.
Well, here you are.
No, just...
Well, I...
No.
I think I earned it.
No.
What's the matter?
Shh. Shut up, the two of you.
Sure.
All right.
Huh?
How about the hamburger? We got good hamburgers, you know.
No, be quiet a minute, will you?
Piece of pie?
No.
We got good hamburgers, you know.
No.
Piece of pie?
No.
Sure, anything you say.
I'm listening, that's all. Listen, that must be it now. That wasn't it.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
What's the matter with you?
I'm listening for something.
What?
We got good...
No. No, just be quiet a minute, will you?
Anything you say.
Say.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Shh. Shut up.
Sure.
There he comes.
Hey, where are you going?
What's the matter?
Shh. That wasn't it.
What?
Hey, what's going on, bud? You hot or something?
No.
Bud?
Huh?
Piece of pie? Piece of pie, bud?
Huh? Oh, no.
Bud?
Huh?
How about the hamburger?
No, just be quiet.
Quiet?
Yeah.
But?
Yeah.
You hot or something?
No.
What's the matter?
Shh.
What?
Oh, I'm a million miles from no place. That's all.
Huh?
Oh, black coffee.
Yeah? Here you are.
I could use a little right now.
Yeah? Good.
Yeah.
Good. Bud.
Huh?
Piece of pie, bud?
Oh, no.
How about the hamburger? Good hamburgers, you know. We got a...
No.
Well... All right.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Good.
Shut up.
Sure.
The two of you.
Shh.
Just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Shh. Shut up.
Say, what's the matter with you?
I'm listening.
Sure, anything you say.
Fool.
Huh?
Well?
I could use a little company right now.
Well, here you are. Piece of pie, bud?
Oh, no.
How'd you know?
Huh? Oh.
How about the hamburger? We got good hamburgers, you know. We got a...
No.
Yeah. Piece of pie?
No.
Yeah. No trouble.
No, keep your shirt on.
You ain't in trouble, are you? I don't want...
Be quiet a minute, will you? The two of you.
What's the matter?
Shh. There he comes.
Hey, where are you going? Hey, what's going on? You hot or something?
No. There's a car out there. It's been following me for the last 200 miles.
Yeah? How'd you know?
I know it. That wasn't it.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm sorry I frightened you, but...
Piece of pie?
No. Black coffee. How about you?
The same, I guess. Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, I mean...
Oh, well, I...
Well, look, if you don't like me...
I was coming in here to phone or something.
Well, here you are.
Now, what have you got to lose?
I...
Bud?
Well,
You can always...
I don't want no...
You'll be all right.
I don't want no trouble.
No. You'll be all right.
Well?
Piece of pie?
Oh, no.
Pie, bud?
No.
How about the hamburger?
Shut up.
Hey, mister, you ain't in trouble, are you? I don't want no trouble.
No, keep your shirt on. You'll be all right.
How about the hamburger?
All right.
Yeah? Well, here you are.
Thanks.
Piece of pie?
No.
All right.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Bud?
Huh?
Piece of pie, bud?
Oh.
How about the hamburger? We got...
No.
Piece of pie, pie, pie.
I...
Yeah.
All right.
Well, here you are.
Thanks.
No, just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah.
How about the hamburger?
No, just be...
Be quiet?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Shh.
I could use a little...
Piece of pie?
Oh, no.
Hamburgers, you know. It's my
yeah, clothes. Yeah.
Be quiet?
Yeah.
Sure, anything you say.
Say, what's the matter?
Shh.
Listen. What's the matter?
Shh. Listen, that must be it now.
What?
Listen.
Hey, mister.
Listen. He's not coming in. He's waiting.
For what?
Me. Hey, what's your name?
Eileen.
Look, Eileen, here are the keys to the car. Go out and drive it up the side entrance. I'll be waiting at the door.
For what?
Me.
All right,
no,
but
no,
I...
No, go on. I'll hurry. It won't hurt you.
Okay.
Hey, mister, you ain't in trouble, are you?
Oh, no. I'm sorry I frightened you, but... Here. Huh? Hey, what are you doing?
Well, I started driving the $50 jalopy. It just fell apart on me.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, I...
Well, look, if you don't like the car, you can always get out and start to walk again. Now, what have you got to lose?
Well, all right.
Look, Eileen, go out and drive it up the side entrance. I'll be waiting at the door.
All right, but I just fell apart.
No, go on. I'll hurry. It won't hurt you.
Okay.
Don't you want your change?
No, keep it. They kept following.
Hey, where are you going? Don't you want your pie?
Shut up.
How about the hamburger? We got good hamburgers, you know. We got a piece of hamburger.
Shut up.
Piece of pie?
That's all.
How about the hamburger? Pie? We got good hamburger. Pie?
Huh? Huh?
The hamburger. Pie?
Oh, no. No.
We got good hamburger. Pie, bud?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah?
No.
We got good hamburgers.
No.
How'd you know?
I know it.
Hey, yeah?
No. Keep it.
Sure, anything you say.
Hop in. I'll slide over.
Thanks. Oh, no.
Howdy, folks.
Oh, no.
Now, just... Piece of pie, bud.
Look.
Bud.
Look. Now, just...
I don't want no trouble.
No.
Piece of pie,
bud. No. Try to duck him.
What?
Piece of pie, bud.
Yeah.
What?
Try to duck him, and he hung on. He kept following.
Well, same, I guess.
And now let's go back to the interview with Mark Hosker of Negative Land on Exquisite Corpse Radio, CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
It sounded really good from this one. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's reverse.
Yeah, that's right. I can do that. We all went to Tibet and we learned how to do that kind of reverse tape loop kind of talking thing. That was before digital samplers were around. You had to do it kind of biologically.
Hey, where do you live right now?
That's top secret.
Okay.
Never mind.
I don't want the address. I just want the basic...
Yeah, what are you asking my address?
In which time zone? I don't
know. Well, how many times...
You said you're on the East Coast, so I assume you're in New York like everybody else.
Oh, no way.
Okay.
All
right.
I would never want to live in New York.
Okay, New Jersey.
Every July. No. I live in the Appalachian Mountains of Western North Carolina, outside of the town of Asheville, North Carolina. I'm in a teeny weeny little town.
So if a couple there gets divorced, are they still brother and sister?
Is who?
If a couple there gets divorced, are they still brother and sister?
That is a stereotype that is grossly unfair and just plain stupid. I'm afraid to say. I'm sorry to lay it on the line like that, Bleak.
I have a button though that says Negative Land is stupid. Back at you, mate.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you're right. No, where I live is I'm around a very rural area. There's tobacco farmers, and there are people still playing screechy old time, you know, that kind of music.
All bluegrass, sort of thing.
No, no, no. Way before bluegrass. I'm not a big fan of contemporary bluegrass. Actually, modern bluegrass, I can't really stand it.
But, but the real thing.
I love older bluegrass, like so Bill Monroe and the stuff from the, you know, older
Blue Sky Boys and stuff like that.
But if you go further back, before there was bluegrass, there's what's called old time music, and that is very punk rock and very raw and very unprofessional and screechy, and it was just everyone played music around here, and this is where it comes from.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm in a kind of an odd area that's a mixture of kind of oddballs and eccentrics and freaks and weirdos who are all kind of politically kind of very to the left. Mixed in with a bunch of old timers and real interesting old Appalachian rural culture. And it's true that if I'd grown up here, maybe I would have wanted to move away. But I didn't grow up here. I grew up on the West Coast, where everything is brand new and was invented yesterday, and there is no sense of history, no sense of the past. And so I really am enjoying being in a place where you meet people whose families have been on their land for hundreds of years, and there's all these stories, and everyone knows, you know, there's a sense of place here that I find really very grounding, and I really like it. And the mountains are incredibly beautiful, and the little town I'm in is about 100 years old, and it's on the river, a train runs through it, and the old courthouse is there, and it's actually quite, quite charming and picturesque and quirky to the max.
That's really good. I'm glad.
So yeah, with the horrible salary that Negative Land pays me, I was able to actually own my own home here, and there's no way I could own anything in California or anywhere. Of course, it's impossible. So I'm kind of, I mean, you know, everyone in Negative, other people in Negative Land think I'm crazy that I'm here. You know, they don't like it that I'm. They think it would be boring, you know, to not live in a big urban environment. You do it yourself. But I really, my whole life, once I hit my late 20s into my 30s, I started being really conscious of wanting to try and have a quality of life to my life and not be spending, you know, 60 hours a week working at a job I hated and having, you know, bills to pay and owing on a $7,000 home entertainment system and some new car.
Gosh.
So I've really worked hard to not, not have that kind of a life and not owe that kind of money and be able to actually live off of not a lot. It may mean I'm eating, you know, more rice and beans than you are, but
you never know.
But you never know.
Well, good.
But by the way, I'm really looking forward to coming to Vancouver. I mean,
I will see you there.
I always enjoy visiting Canada a lot, and
Canada is good.
I really hope to find some enterprising person who wants to take me out to the mountains on a couple of the days I'm there, because I really would like to get out of the city and actually walk around.
Oh, really?
Around.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
If
I heard there's a bus that goes out of there that's about an hour bus ride.
You know, it's really not that far to get into the mountains.
Exactly.
It wouldn't even take an hour.
Exactly. Right. It's very dramatic. So I
take no time at all. It's
love
close.
To do that. So yeah, I don't know what kind of hours you're working or something, but maybe we can.
Well, regular hours, you know.
Yeah.
I look forward to meeting you. I'm not good with people in person, but not so good on phone either, I guess. But no, I'll come up to you and say hi, and you'll be hooking wires up to that.
I know. Just bring some little pirate radio setup, and you can just kind of stay like as far away from me as feels comfortable.
Hey,
and I'll listen to my little radio headset, and you can kind of talk that way.
Well, let me tell you, I'm in a book, one of the Canadian books for actually doing a pirate radio station. And
oh,
I was
good.
Interviewed for it, and I'm in a book called We Want Some Too by Hal Nidzwiecki. That's kind of a difficult name, but if you wanted to look it up, I'm in there. And I'm in the section called Plunder, actually.
No kidding.
And I did not expect to be in a chapter called Plunder.
Yeah.
Oh, and I do, I do my own Plunder phonic stuff under Value Village people, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, we've been Negative Land's been putting out work now for just about 30, you know, we're almost 30 years.
Yeah, holy cow.
You know, and I'm guessing because you wanted to talk to me that you like at least some of what we do.
Yes, very much.
Well, do you,
of course.
Have, Have you kept up? I mean, do you feel still find what we're doing to be interesting, or do you feel like, it was kind of interesting years ago, but I don't really care anymore. It's kind of old hat, but I still like the old stuff. Or where are you at? I mean, I'm just curious.
Where am I at? I'm still with you there.
Yeah?
I enjoyed No Business immensely.
What did you think of the Death Sentences project that we did?
You know what? That's some of my favorite stuff right there.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks.
Because I come from the noise.
Well, you can imagine that project really confused a lot of fans of our work and kind of left, you know, like, what?
Yeah,
what
but, you know, I like the stuff from your, I don't even know what that album's called. The one with, doesn't have any titles on it, and it had different, it's got Karamia on there, and
that's the first record. That's the very first one.
Because I thought so.
Yeah, that's it. Number one.
Yeah, I got an interesting copy of that. But I've enjoyed some of the noisier parts on that. I'm kind of a noise guy.
Yeah.
That it turned on to a lot of the other.
Well, the last record we put out, you know, went to the other direction where it's a collection of songs.
It's a pop record. Kinda.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of screwy.
That sort of reminded me of what's that Australian band that does that? I can't think of that. I can't think now.
Is it Avalanches?
No.
The Kangaroos.
Ah, jeez. The Koalas. No. You know what? I'll never think of it. As soon as I hang up, I'll think of it, but I can't think of it now.
Okay. Well, you can announce it on your show afterwards.
Two guys who do these really bizarre songs. Anyway, I've kind of run out of questions, so we're sort of bantering here.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
But we could talk about all the old stuff.
We're certainly always trying to do things that challenge ourselves and surprise us and hopefully our audience, and it means we run the risk of alienating people.
Yeah.
but I think it's... It's important, you know, it's important as you keep doing this kind of work as the years go by, you know, you need to keep trying to not get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the whole collage thing has become so normal and mainstream that for me personally, you know, it's lost a certain amount of its it's not transgressive anymore. So that aspect of it, which I said didn't exist in the beginning and then came starting, you know, in the late 80s and of course after we were sued, gave it a big charge. You know, there was a lot of excitement around doing work that you think, my God, we're making art that is illegal, you know.
And I think Evolution Control Committee are also dealing with the same sort of grappling with the same, you know, issues. Is that, you know, where do we go from here? They wanted to be on the forefront of any breaking trend in sound, I guess. And now it's like, where do you go now?
I think once you've reached the point where you can you have the ability to use any sound in any way you want to do anything you want with to compose music with, you've reached a certain endpoint. I don't know how you can get past.
I guess you can just do whatever makes you smile, and that's kind of how I'm approaching it.
In our case, it may be harder to come up with new actual technical and aesthetic approaches, but in the end, do you have a good idea or not? Is the actual concept and project idea and content strong and interesting? And that show that we've been doing for a while live, it's called It's All in Your Head FM.
Yeah.
It's a live stage show about why we believe in God and why believing in God is probably a really bad idea in one single God. And that it's causing us a lot of problems when we've had a president, you know, who believes God tells him what to do fighting terrorists, who believe God tells him what to do. So it's a topic which is both very timely but also timeless, because we're all wonder about our place in the universe.
Yeah.
So when that subject came up for us as a theme and to explore to do a show, we thought, well, you know, we use collage to talk about it. We use our collage and cut-up techniques to talk about it. But I think what people come away with is you don't come away from that show thinking about the innovative collage and cut-up Plunderphonics that Negative Land did. What you're thinking about is about God and your place in the universe and what do you believe and what do you think. And you know, you're thinking about the ideas we raised in the show. So it's the ideas transcend the technique. And so I think that's still what, you know, that's still where it's at in terms of the collage is still an interesting way to work.
And I think it's a really great, it's a really you know, I've played large segments on it on my show, and I think it sounds really good. It's a really fascinating thing to hear, you know, and it really turns me on when I hear it, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Not in a weird way.
And for using, for us, it felt like we were doing something that felt like we're being really grown up now.
Yeah, and it does sound like that. Like, this is really conceptual.
Yeah.
This is really, this is quite.
By the way, we're trying to finish a new version of that because the version you may have got a hold of was sort of version 1.0. The show evolved a lot, and so we're trying to put out a new pressing of that CD. And of course, it'll be a download too. But, that's version 2.0, and we'll show the way the show evolves, because over the course of performing it over about 4 years, it changed a lot.
This is reprogramming from the Universal Media Network.
For many people, particularly in this country, thinking about religion is kind of counterintuitive. It's almost something you're not supposed to do.
What is your idea of God?
Let us have faith.
First idea of God?
Well, I couldn't exactly say.
Let us have faith.
Because there is no God.
Let us have faith.
And now let's go back to the interview with Mark Hosler of Negative Land on Exquisite Corpse Radio, CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
We all are in this cultural trance.
What was your first idea of God?
Well, I couldn't exactly say.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Is there anything new that I can get an exclusive or something? I don't know. But is there anything? Are you working on anything new that we should be looking for?
Nothing to come out. We're working on composing music right now. Kind of composing building blocks for a future project. I mean, I personally, what's interested me lately is composing music where I'm not sampling from anything whatsoever. I'm completely doing it, using electronic instruments. It is a new program. A program that I'm trying to teach myself. And so that's kind of an interesting challenge, and I'm using stuff that allows me to compose in an electronic music studio setting that I never had before in my old setup. So yeah, that's kind of neat. But we are trying to, after you do a whole show all about God, you're like, well, what do we do next? How do we talk about that one?
What's beyond that?
Yeah, okay. We've been talking about the idea of doing a whole project all about failure. And also a whole project all about the end of music and the idea of how there's no new ideas anymore and in music whatsoever, which is arguable, but it's a great thing to do a project on because it gets people, really pisses people off too.
Yeah, that's important.
But Crosley Bendix, who's the cultural arts reviewer for Negative Land and the Universal Media Network, has an essay that he's done live on our radio show over the, we have our own weekly radio show called Over the Edge.
Yep.
And he has a great kind of a little talk he gives about the end of music, and we thought about kind of expanding that into perhaps a performance piece and or a future project. So we'll see.
All right, good.
All right, good. Canadian. All right, are you Canadian?
I will see you. I'll see you at the show. I'll hand you one of my pathetic things.
But does the luggage carousel in the airport in Vancouver have a stuffed life-size stuffed animal diorama like the luggage carousel in Calgary? Do you?
No, we do not.
Can you live up to the glory and grandness of the luggage carousel of Calgary?
I think I can supply rain for you when you get here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I lived in Olympia, Washington for 13 years, so, you know.
Olympia!
Yeah, it's probably
similar.
That's
my state.
That's your state.
Yeah, I was raised in Tacoma there, so not far.
All right. Well, anyway, you're going to edit this down? Or shorten me from some of my... Or no?
Yeah, I'm going to shorten it a bit, but at some later date, I will be playing the more complete version. I have an hour and a half to present this interview and Vicky Bennett both tomorrow night. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but... it's got to happen.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Are you going to intersperse it with bits and pieces of any of her work or our work?
Certainly going to try, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's always tricky if you're doing a show like this, is how much do you want to sort of show off the works? It's more for people who don't know, or how much do you want to say, this is more for someone who really already knows this and we want to go into real depth. That either one has value to it, I think.
I'm basically assuming that people know a bit about it. If they don't, they can look back. You know, because everybody wants to, when they talk to you, they want to talk about the U2 thing, probably. And I figured, I'm not even going to bring that up.
You did really good, Bleak. I'm so proud of you. You never asked me anything about it. And I really, if you were here now, I would be patting your little tiny head. If you were here now with your head in a paper bag,
pinhead,
talking to me over a pirate radio setup, I'd sneak over to where you were and I'd pat you on your paper bag head.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's enough said. Bye now.
Good. Well, it's nice talking to you. And be sure and introduce yourself. And like I said, maybe on. Friday, I don't know. Friday seemed like the day that might work for me to try and get up to the mountains. So we'll see. I'm sure somehow I'll find somebody who might want to do that.
Yeah, well, I'll look into it a little bit.
All right.
I'll try.
I'll help you out with some of your framing of the kind of contentless, poofy, anonymous corporate art, and then we can go out and enjoy the woods. And then come back and then check out of all the experimental music, what.
Well, I could call in sick. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway.
There you go. Yeah, you could. Yeah, there's a lot of things. You know, it's that time of year when you get sick.
Yeah,
I know you're trying to hang up the phone and I'm not even letting you. I mean, I got to go to bed too. It's actually late.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
Yellow and black and rectangular.
Rectangular, yes. And what else?
Well, yellow and black and rectangular.
Rectangular, yes. What else?
Well, doctor, it has kind of black and yellow and black and...
rectangular, yes.
It has kind of shapes inside.
Yellow, black, and shapes inside.
Oh, I see them everywhere.
What else?
It has kind of wedge shapes inside.
Yellow, black.
Black and yellow.
And with...
rectangular.
Wedge shapes inside.
Oh, I see them everywhere. Do you hear me?
There. Just lie back.
Black and...
black and yellow with...
everywhere, do you hear me?
There, Mrs. Black.
Well, wedge shapes.
Mrs. Wedge.
Everywhere.
There. Back on the couch.
What does it mean?
Rectangular, black, and with wedge shapes inside.
Oh, I see them everywhere, everywhere.
Just lie back on the couch.
What does it mean?
Yellow and with black shapes...
wedge shapes inside.
Inside.
Oh, everywhere, do you hear me?
There. Back on the couch.
What does it mean?
Mrs. Yellow, back on the couch.
What does it mean? Am I losing my mind?
Just lie back on the couch.
What does it mean?
Just lie back.
Am I losing my mind?
There.
Everywhere.
Just lie back.
Do you hear me?
There, Mrs.
Everywhere. Do you hear me?
There.
Do you hear me?
Mrs.
Rectangular.
Mrs. Rectangular, yes.
Am I losing my mind?
What you have been seeing everywhere you look are those yellow and black signs used to indicate a fallout shelter in buildings.
Uh-huh. So you see these signs too, Dr. Black?
Why, sure, Mrs. Rectangular.
Oh, well, I feel better already.
What time is it there? 1:05? 1 something?
2 o'clock in the morning!
Oh, are you kidding me?
God.
I wouldn't be talking to you.
Actually, I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Go check in. About 3-4 weeks ago, I had all the symptoms of having a heart attack.
Oh, good God, really?
Oh, God, scared the crap out of me. Horrible chest pain, numbness going up and down my left arm.
Jeez, what was it?
Yeah. Well, it turned out that it was some kind of, you know, acid reflux thing coming up from my stomach and getting, you know, heart. It was so severe, and then I somehow twisted or injured or slept on my arm wrong, so the two things combined to mimic all the symptoms of, hey, we're putting you in an emergency, you know, checking you in, and I was in the hospital for 24 hours. I had EKG, you know, I was hooked up to all these wires, you know, having all, like, 5 different blood tests and an EKG and a CAT scan and our echocardiogram. I got to actually listen to the sound they shoot into your heart, which bounces back an image. That was neat.
Yeah.
And then the CAT scan was like being in a scene from 2001 aboard the spaceship going toward Jupiter. That was cool. The chest x-rays and a stress test, and I was given morphine for the first time in my life, and that was, and in the end, you know, decided that basically I needed, you know, I ended up, you know, I'm going to have this many, many, many thousands of dollars of a bill that I owe. Thank you, American, you know, healthcare system, because I basically have to take you know, and antacid and some aspirin for my arm.
We don't want that Nazi healthcare.
That's what I want. I mean, God, give me why is it that the right wing talking echo chamber has decided to make socialism the new communism? Like, what's
socialism
so bad about
the new Nazism?
Or somehow you almost could infer from the way they talk about it, like communism, Nazism, fascism, socialism. What's the difference? You know, they'll call the same person will accuse Obama of being a fascist, a Marxist, a Nazi, and a socialist.
Yeah, well, keep your government hands off of my Medicare. That's another one I like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, good Lord.
Duh.
Just a little, you know.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power science world for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could, the only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
Want to know what's going on around town? LiveMusicVancouver.com is the Lower Mainland's comprehensive source for live music listings. We've got more than 350 shows listed at any time, and our listings are updated continuously by hundreds of the very people who put on the shows you love. Artist information and MP3s are accessible right from the listings, as are maps and calendars for virtual